Greetings, radio friends. This is Dr. William R. Glaze coming to you to let you know that one of the organizations that has been birthed out of Bethany Baptist Church is the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies. This fall, we will be offering four classes: Right to Life, Right to Choose. In this, we'll look at the subject of abortion and give us a more comprehensive perspective in light of God's Word. American Sign Language, where we teach people how to sign to the deaf culture in the Christian context. We also have biblical counseling, where we train people how to use the Bible to counsel others. And then we have apologetics, where we defend the Christian faith. The classes begin this fall. They are all Zoom classes, so you can take them right from the convenience of your home. If you are interested or want more information, call 412-242-3255. To register or for more information, call 412-242-3255. God bless you as you listen to the message today.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall thanking you for joining us today as we continue in Psalms with the first half of God Works the Night Shift. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of God Works the Night Shift.
And this morning, we're going to be in Psalm 121. Psalm 121. And here, the psalmist says, "I will lift mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He who keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he who keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is the shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. The Lord shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore." And this morning, we want to talk about the fact that God works the night shift. God works the night shift. God works the night shift. Notice what it says in verse 3. "He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. Behold, he who keepeth thee will not slumber. He who keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep." That God is up. God is working. God is doing his thing when we are dead to the world. And when we think about night, because I know that a lot of times when we define night, you know, we say night and day, and nighttime is usually that time when it gets dark and we go to bed. But let me give you a working definition of night for this particular message. Night would be those periods of darkness in our lives when we go through loss, when we are suffering, when we are dealing with sickness, when we are in distress, when we are lonely, when we are discouraged. And you can continue on and on to add whatever you want to define what night might mean for you. Some of you are going through a night right now. You got some bad news about something going on in your life. And so it's nighttime for you. But what a blessing it is to know that God works the night shift. As we look at the scripture, we see several things that God does in the night. When we say that God works the night shift, well, how does he work the night shift? Let's look at the scripture. Acts, he brings deliverance at night. Paul and Silas were in jail. They had been beaten for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And now they find themselves in jail. And it says, and at midnight, they sang praises to God. And as they sang praises to God, it says that the prison was shaken and every prisoner's chains was loosed. God brings deliverance at night. God holds counseling sessions in the night. The psalmist in Psalm 16 said that he has been my counsel in the night watches, that God brings counsel that in the nighttime, when you lay on your bed, nobody else around, nobody else to talk to. Psalm 16 and verse 7 lets us know that God holds counseling sessions in the night. And you don't have to pay by the hour. They are absolutely free. I like this right here. God, woo! He gives concerts in the night. Look at Job chapter 35. Job chapter 35 and verse 10. But none saith, where is God, my maker? Look at this. Who giveth songs in the night. That God will put a melody in your heart at night. That he gives songs in the night. God demonstrates his faithfulness. Psalm 92 and verse 2. In the night. God gives light in the night. Now let's go back. What did I say? The night was. The night represents the suffering, the sickness, the despair, the discouragement, the loneliness. That the night represents all those things. But yet and still, what do we see? What does God do when you're going through your night seasons? He brings deliverance. He holds counseling sessions. He gives concerts. Sometimes you need, when you're going through a dark period, there's nothing like putting on some good old praise and worship and having a concert. And God is the orchestrator of the concert. He gives you songs when you're going through those dark periods. He demonstrates, I like this right here, he demonstrates his faithfulness at night in those dark times. You might not be able to sing, but he's there. He's there demonstrating his faithfulness. And then he gives light in the night. The thing I like about God is it says here that he will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. And I like to say it, put it like this. God will not nod on the job. That there are many gods that fall asleep, but we have a God who stays awake 24/7. As we look at this psalm right here, Psalm 121, you will notice that in most Bibles, this is a song of degrees or ascent. And what does that mean? You know, when we see stuff in the Bible, they call them superscriptions, that we ought to try to say, well, what's that there for? And so when we think about the song of degrees or the songs of ascent, what they were is that as the kingdom began to branch out, and there was a northern part of the kingdom and a southern part of the kingdom, and people, Jerusalem was still the center of worship. And so several times a year, the people would come back to Jerusalem to worship, to offer their sacrifices, and to be obedient to what God called them to do. Well, guess what? Psalm, I believe it is 120 through 134, that it says it in most of those, the songs of the Greek. 120 through 134, watch this, were the songs that they sang as they descended to Jerusalem and as they ascended back home. And so Psalm 121, many people call this the traveler psalm. You know, a lot of times when I'm getting ready to go on a trip, a long trip, or if somebody asks me to pray, sometimes people going on a missions trip or maybe there's a bus trip and they ask me to pray, you know what I'll do? I'll read Psalm 121. Why? Because Psalm 121 is not only a psalm of ascent or degrees, but Psalm 121 is also known as the traveler's psalm. And it's the psalm that if I was you, you can't go wrong praying this prayer right here. You can't go wrong praying Psalm 121. Now, why did they pray or why did they use a psalm like 121? So, you know, you got to realize that in their day, you know, there was no cell phones if they broke down on the road. There was no AAA to call. You know, there were no roadside assistance programs. And so the only one they had to help them was God. And so they wanted to ensure at the beginning of the trip that they had invoked the blessings of God upon their trip. And I don't know about you, but when you're going on a trip, it's nice to know that God is going along with you. And so we see here, this is what's called the traveler's psalm. And as we continue to look, they would sing this song to remind them how that God would protect them in time of danger. Now, Jesus sang these songs. Because remember the time that his parents went down to worship in Jerusalem, and then they were on their way back, and they couldn't find Jesus. Well, what were they doing? Well, that's a sermon for another time, but Jesus was in the temple teaching. But what were they doing? They were traveling down to Jerusalem, and they were going back up north. And so what were they doing when they traveled? They were singing these songs. So Jesus actually sang these songs of degree or songs of ascent. So we think about this fact that God is there. God does not nod on the job. Now, there's a difference between God and the gods of the heathen. Look at 1 Kings 18. 1 Kings 18. And you remember that Elijah challenged the prophets of Baal to a contest. And he put out the wood, and he said that the God that answers by fire, we will know that he is God. And so the prophets of Baal, Elijah let them have first. He let them be first up. And they were jumping out there from morning till noon. And they were praying, Baal, hear us. Baal, hear. And they even got to the point where they start taking glass and other sharp objects and they started cutting themselves because they wanted their God to hear them. And then Elijah, he begins to mock them. Verse 27, and it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is God. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or perhaps he sleeps and he must be awakened. Now, those of you who have the Living Bible, it's very interesting what it says there. So somebody must have that. You got the Living Bible? All right, you see what it says, right? Okay, I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to say. But if you want to see what the Living Bible says, it's not a pretty picture. All right? So we see here that Elijah mocks them because he says your God must be asleep. So thank God that we have a God who does not sleep. As a matter of fact, it says, behold, he that keepeth thee. And the word keepeth is a participle. And it means that he goes on watching over us. He goes on looking after us. That he is a living God. That he is a God who is active and interested in the affairs of his creation. You know, there's a philosophy today. And it's called deism. And deism is a belief. You see, like, if you go back, the Jewish people, that when you look at the Holocaust, where millions of Jews were killed, and people look and see it, and they say, well, how can God let something like that happen? If God is active, if God is working in the affairs of mankind, how can God let millions of people be killed. If God, we're celebrating Black History Month. If God is active, how could he let slaves be brought over from Africa and be beaten and tortured and serving in the field? How could God do that? So in order to explain it away, they come up with this idea, because they still want to believe in God, this idea of deism. So what is deism? Deism is the belief that God created everything, and then he just stepped back. And he's just watching stuff happen. That he's just looking at all that's happening, and he got his hands tied behind his back, and he can't do anything. But I thank God today that I have a God that I don't believe in deism. I believe in theism. I believe that I have a God who is active, who is involved, and that when I go through trials and tribulation, that the scripture says that God is there, and he's there right early. He doesn't show up late. He's not out in the universe somewhere with his hands tied behind his back, can't do anything about my problem. And so God is there. We serve a living God. There was a Muslim in Africa who became a Christian, and one of his friends asked him, well, why would you do such a thing? Why would you leave Islam and convert to Christianity? And he said, I'm going to put it like this. Suppose you were going down a road, and you came to a fork in the road, and you were looking for directions as far as which way to go. He said, and there were two men there. One was dead, and the other was alive. Which one would you ask for directions? We serve a risen Savior who's in the world today. Amen. We serve a God who is alive, who will not nod on the job. God is even watching over us while we sleep. Look at Psalm 139. Psalm 139. This is my introduction. I'm going to get into my message in a second. Psalm 139. Verses 17 and 18. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum. Do you know? Does that blows my mind. That how numerous, how innumerable are God's thoughts for me. Can you just imagine how that all the people that's on this earth today, and yet and still we have a God that he knows each person individually, and he has so many thoughts toward them that, you know, just think, hey, okay, you know, Bill, you're getting ready to get in your car. You know, there's some ice there that you don't see, but I'm going to keep you safe. You know, you get in your car, and you're going down the road, and there might be a deer getting ready to run across, but I'm going to keep you safe. You know, how numerous are his thoughts. And then if a deer runs in front of my car and hit it, then God's thinking about me. That when I'm going through the most devastating situation, God is thinking about me. That there's never a time that I'm out of the thought range of God. He's always thinking about me. And not only is he just thinking one thought, but he has a multiplicity of thoughts toward me. And notice what it says. It says, how precious are thy thoughts unto me. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand of the sea. And when I fall asleep, and when I wake up, you're still thinking about me. You're still thinking about me. You know, can you imagine that when you go to sleep, you know, God is omnipresent. So the presence of God is in your bedroom. So when you go to sleep, the presence of God is there. And you out, man. You calling hogs and sawing logs, right? And God is just there the whole time while you calling and sawing. God is just there looking at you, smiling. He's just watching over you. And then you and you open your eyes. He's right there. He's right there. You've been sleeping. When you wake up, he's right there. God will not nod on the job. So when we go through these night seasons The first thing that I want to say as we go through the night seasons is that God is aware of the terrain. God is aware of the terrain. That he knows, the songwriter said that the going gets tough and the roads are rough and the hills are hard to climb. Now, God already knew that. It didn't take God by surprise that the road was going to be rough. Because what? He already knows the terrain. He already knows the way that you're going to travel. Now he says here in Psalm 121, he says, I lift my eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Now, I know I'm going to mess up a lot of theology and mess up a lot of hymnology, but the literal reading, because we preach and teach that God is in the hills, but the psalmist actually is saying, actually the hills are the obstacle. The psalmist is saying, I'm looking at the hills. Now, what was in the hills? What was in the hills? Let me tell you what was in the hills. High places. High places. Places where pagans were worshipped. Places where Baal was worshipped. He said, I'm looking to the hills. Who's going to help me? Who's going to help me cover this terrain? My help is in the Lord who made heaven and earth. I'm looking at a diagnosis that I just got cancer. Who's going to help me? I'm looking at a bill that I don't have money to pay. Who's going to help me? I'm looking at a problem that seems so insurmountable, who's going to help me? And see, that's the problem that we have, is that we're going on the journey and we're not following the advice of MasterCard. What did it say? Don't leave home without it. And we're not following the advice. God, don't leave home without it. Whenever you get on the road, well, let me back up and say, you need to have them in your home too, because because you can get in trouble real quick in your home. But so you need to have him in your home. But I'm just saying, when we get on out and about, we need to take the Lord with us, because he already knows the terrain. You know what? Sometimes, we've been sitting in church, and as soon as church was over and I walked back, somebody would tell me something bad happened, something tragic happened. People sitting in the service didn't even know that it happened. But you know what? God knew that it happened. And he already knew that it was going to happen. And so that's why that as we go on this journey, that we need to think about the fact that God works the night shift, that whenever you go through trials and tribulation, that God is there, and he's already traveled over it. He's already been over this road with people that have cancer. He's already been over this road with people that lost their jobs. He's already been over this road with people who have relationship problems. He's already been over this road. He's already been over it. So it didn't take him by surprise, and we need to trust him. I'm looking to the hills. Where's my help coming from? Who's going to help me? I thank God, because now notice.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of God Works the Night Shift. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's teaching, God Works the Night Shift, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request God Works the Night Shift. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request God Works the Night Shift. Or call us at 877-831-5060. Today's teaching is part of a larger series of messages from the Book of Psalms. You can request the entire 24-part series from our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or by calling 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Also, there is a downloadable brochure on politics, which can help you parallel your political views with God's Word. Dr. Glaze is the author of five books, For more information about these resources and how to order them, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.